Is everyone ready? Huh, back row? Huh, perimeter of the room? Huh? Everyone's a three-point shooter tonight, huh? Huh? Wants to be in the paint. You're all outfielders. Hey, get in the paint, throw some elbows. Yeah. Yeah, draw the double team, kick out to, I played basketball in high school. I was a center. I was a 6'2 center because all my teammates were Mexicans. So I was a center. A lot of point guards on that team. A lot of point guards. All right, here we go. Emma Haney's here. We can start.
We were just waiting for Emma.
There we go. Emma, you in place? Emma's in place. Emma's seated. Thank you, Emma.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Welcome to Stab. Welcome. Well, we're back. We're back. Back here in Northern California, back from our trip to Los Angeles. No big deal. No big deal. We're in LA doing LA stuff. How's the sound? Sound good? Okay, good. You want to meet your contestants for show number one? Okay, good. And chair number one, we have Steve Ferris. Steve Ferris. Chair number two, making her sophomore appearance on the show, Rhoda Ramone. Will it be as good as her freshman release? We'll see. And right there, he's sitting there. He looks good. He looks great. Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. So good. So good. Hello, guys. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. Crowd, people we know, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Keep on drinking. Okay, it's going to be great. Steve Ferris, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, John.
Good. Thanks. We haven't had you in a while.
Yeah.
You're quiet. And I had to seek you out.
Oh.
I thought about you in my dream and I was
kind of... What happened?
And then I was like, I should book Steve.
That was it?
That was it. That was the dream.
Okay.
I don't have good dreams. I don't have... It's never good. I don't know if you guys...
I think that's a great dream.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a dream come true.
All right now.
Steve Ferris, I don't know if you knew this about Steve Ferris, but he ain't talking about love. Okay. Rhoda.
Yes.
Get up on that. I know you can. I don't know what that meant. That sounded weirdly...
That's okay. That's all right.
I noticed you have a tattoo on your forearm. Yes. Should I not have brought that up, being that you're covering it up?
We're currently in the process of getting it removed.
Really? What was it?
The state of California.
The state of California. Okay. Wait. Jordan Gannon yelled Jefferson for all that home listeners. Are you proud to be from California, or what? Like, what prompted? What age? What gang were you in?
Sometimes you make friends with crazy people.
Yeah.
And they talk you into getting a tattoo.
Of California.
And then you get a tattoo.
Uh-huh.
And then you wake up and you regret it. And then you drop a bunch of money on painful treatments to get it removed.
Very good. Very good. Well, you know, your love for California will be remembered. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Other guys, I don't know if you knew this about Rhoda Ramone. She was made on Pinterest. She was made on... Nailed it.
Follow my board.
Jesse Jones.
Yes.
Is here, Jesse Jones.
Ooh. Dim the lights.
The lights have dimmed when we spoke Jesse Jones' name.
Yeah. It happens more often than you think.
Yeah. I was like, it's weird. I always thought that was my dead mom. But it wasn't Jesse Jones. We've taken some time off from the show a little bit.
A little. I mean,
we traveled. We traveled from Los Angeles by ourselves, from home by ourselves,
yeah.
And we had a good time. Jesse drove the whole way, and then we came up with some John Fogerty lyrics to put me in coach. Yeah. And we wondered if he would went through all the positions of baseball before he got to center field. And I think that got us from like Bakersfield to Modesto.
Probably,
I think just...
Yeah. Just all of the various positions.
So put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Shortstop. I could be short. What was it? Look at me. I could be shortstop. Like, or what are the ones you remember?
Oh, I had forgotten all about that. Because apparently I was driving just delirious the whole way. Because I had forgotten that.
But I think we kept starting the song off. Look at me. I could be ground rule double. Like stuff that didn't even make sense. That wasn't even a position, but yeah. It was very fun. I don't know if you knew this about Jesse. He once summoned the end of days.
Yeah.
So it was actually kind of recently. So.
Yeah. Then called psych, and it was reset back to one.
Perfect. Well, thank you for that. Let's play Stab. I remembered to push this little thing. Wait, can I? I can be Stab. This first segment's called This Was Today Once. Stephen Ferris. On this day, 1960, Bill Johnson, American skier, was born. Someone's yelling outside. Sound like babies for a minute. Wait for babies to be yelling outside. Bill Johnson, the skier, was born. Also on this very date, 1822, the Florida Territory is created in the United States, 1822. How did you celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Well, a thrift shop that I went to once had a really cool old tandem bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you say tandem?
I did.
Okay, good.
Every show, I say it.
All right, because my whole response hinges on
okay.
You reading the prompt verbatim.
The aforementioned events in tandem.
The tandem bicycle. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't make any sense otherwise. And also, you know, a lot of thrift shops you go to and they have old skis in there.
That's
and
true.
So I thought, you know, a nice way to celebrate this day would be to go to a thrift shop and try to find a tandem bicycle. And if they have skis or another thrift shop has skis, then you buy the skis.
Mm-hmm.
And you take off the front wheel from the tandem bicycle, and you attach the skis on there. It'd be, you know, complicated because, you know, remember you take the front wheel off, mm-hmm. You're losing about, you know, 13, 14 inches.
Right.
So you need to come up with some kind of like arm or something to attach to the fork, and then attach to the skis.
Mm-hmm.
And you want them to be able to move a little bit, like, or rotate just a little,
right.
You know, if we're going over bumps and stuff like that.
Moguls, maybe. Yeah.
Huh?
Moguls.
Moguls?
Moguls.
What's that?
Snow bumps.
Snow bumps?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the prompt, so it's not really fair. And then, so we build this thing and then go... On a vacation to Florida, and call it. Here we go.
Here comes.
Call it the Florida Skis. Right? Call
yeah.
Florida Keys, but with an S.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all right. Very good, Steve Ferris.
Thank you.
Thank you. Rhoda. On this date, 1964, Jeopardy, which Jeopardy also has an exclamation, just like our show. Jeopardy, hosted by Art Fleming, debuts, 1964. Also on this very date, 1962, MC Hammer, American rapper and actor, is born. How did you celebrate these events combined?
Well, to celebrate this day, I grew up my best old school Trebek mustache. It only took me 8 hours. I threw on my brightest pair of parachute pants, and I headed out to the club. But while dancing the running man, my rat tail whipping to and fro, I couldn't help but feel my contribution to this day was lacking. So I spent every single cent that I had left to buy my crew drinks at the bar. I rushed home to compose an opus dedicated to these two monumental occasions. It goes like this. Hopefully I don't mess it up. My, Fleming was the first one to hold cars. But Trebek was the man who became the star. Nerd Questions on a big blue screen makes people look smart. If you're into that thing, Brad Rutter won the most all around. Ain't no Vanna White bitch in that ratchet ball gown. And that's known as a 1-2 punch. And this is what is today once.
Very good. Oh my God. Yes, that deserves more.
Thank you.
Very good. Strong second showing. Good luck, Jesse Jones.
No, that's not
someone's
good.
Someone's going to have seat three.
Yeah. Dropping those rhymes.
Jesse Jones, on this day, 1992, some guy accidentally backs into A's Jose Canseco's $225,000 Lamborghini. Backed into it. Also on this date, 1956, Vladimir Denisenkov? Yep, a Russian accordion player and composer was born. So guy backed into Jose Canseco's expensive car.
Yeah.
Russian accordion player, composer was born. How'd you celebrate these events?
By overwriting this.
Perfect.
Well, this is actually quite the coincidence. As I'm sure everybody knows, I'm quite the enthusiast of the baseballs. And I just got back yesterday from a weekend down in Arizona, checking out a little spring training action. Wasn't all a pleasure trip, of course. I was actually invited by the Mesa Cacti to play my famous accordion version of the national anthem before their game against the Norfolk Screeching Bison. Minor league teams have weird names. Upon arriving to the stadium, I pulled up to the valet to find, would you believe it? None other than Bash Brother number 2, him own self, Jose Canseco. Stuffed neatly into a tight blue vest and awaiting my keys. Naturally, Jose recognized me immediately. He told me how much he enjoyed Edgar Granados' spot-on representation of he and his brother Ozzy's birthday festivities from the STAB program a few years ago. I tossed him my keys and told him thanks, but that wasn't one of my segments, so I didn't remember what the hell he was talking about. As he began pulling away in my beloved Nova, the chatterbug Canseco couldn't stop telling me about how he's still active in the baseballing sports and how much he was looking forward to the upcoming season with the semi-pro Tempe Laser Falcons, where he'll be serving as designated hitter, stadium parking attendant, and sixth inning red vine vendor. He was still going on about how he spent last season with the Altamont Raccoon Chainsaw Sculptures and the San Antonio landfill when he backed right into this Russian guy's $255 1992 Toyota Tercel. I tried to remind Jose just how ironic that was, but wouldn't you know it, I don't think he heard me over the sound of angry Russian screaming and his own demonic howling as he was suddenly and magically transformed into what I can only describe as a Chinese dragon-type creature and flew off into the afternoon sky. I don't remember much else from that weekend. As a matter of fact, the next thing I do remember is violently jolting awake this afternoon to find a shirtless Edgar Granados standing over me with a clipboard in one hand, a prescription pill bottle in the other, muttering, interesting. Interesting. Over and over, before magically transforming into what I can only describe as a Chinese dragon-type creature and flying off into the afternoon sky.
This was today once. Very good. Which brings us to our next segment, Topical Haiku Challenge. Please have composed 3 separate haiku in regards to the following topical story. A man is attacked by his own pit bull after ordering the dog to attack police. As Avery Davis ran from the police Monday, he released his pit bull and directed the animal to attack the officers, according to authorities. The dog then turned on him, bit him in the ass, and then went for his head, forcing Davis to hide in some bushes. Haiku. Steve Ferris, your first of 3 haiku.
Dangerous dog breed. Can't get you now because bushes make you safe.
Very good. Rhoda?
A douche in the bush is better than two police. Rabies are no fun.
Very good.
First is titled In the Line. Scraps O'Shaughnessy. Undercover police dog. Always gets his R's.
Should I wait?
I'm being quiet. It's fine.
Miami Vice grips embodied in a live dog. Officer's best friend.
Very good.
You know what they say. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Bite his face instead.
Very good.
Second is titled Three Strikes. What he didn't know when he got a shelter dog was his two priors.
Steve, the third of three.
Okay. Was part of his ass still in the pit bull's jaws grasp? I am wondering.
Very good. Rhoda, your third of three, please.
Davis used milk bones. Should have used bacon instead. Now his ass is bit.
Very good.
Last is titled, Never Trusted That Bitch. That's why I always check my pets for fleas and ticks and fucking wires, man!
Very good. That was the Topical Haiku Challenge. Very good. Very good. Very good. This next segment is called the Top 5 Google Searches of... everyone, please have composed the Top 5 Google searches from the perspective of a drug dealer with a tiny butthole. If a tiny butthole drug smuggler searched Google, what would he or she search? First of five, Steve.
Okay. How to rip yourself a new asshole.
Very good. Very good. Rhoda?
Are there any better holes?
What is the street value of half a Capri Sun straw full of heroin?
Steve?
Okay.
Yep.
Did Steve Martin really get small?
Explanation, please.
Well, Steve Martin has an album called Let's Get Small, okay. Right?
Yes.
So it's like he it would have been Let's Get High, but he's like, Let's Get Small, as if that was something you could do from a drug, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
For the explanation. Rhoda, your second.
Dear Prudence advice column.
Explain. Please. I'm dumb.
Dear Prudence is an advice column where you can ask a lot of questions like, how can I expand my butthole to fit drugs
oh,
in?
Oh, okay. That makes sense to me now.
Sure.
She's a very helpful lady.
Indeed.
Second. Do prison rapists ever just get frustrated and give up?
Steve, third of five.
What drugs make you small?
Very good. Rhoda?
Pablo Escobar smuggling tips.
What's the best brand for taping things to your taint?
We're on four, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
Butt plugs for lab mice.
Rhoda?
It's very similar. Mine was butt plugs for beginners.
Yes. Please, Jesse. Please.
Very close. Very close. Can a catheter be used to put things in?
That was close. And the fifth of five.
Okay. Smallest diameter aquarium tubing.
It's wrapping around. There we go.
Which chapter in 50 Shades of Grey does Christian expand Anna's butthole?
Jesse.
It's chapter four.
Is it chapter four? Thank you.
Ooh. My last one. How do I know if my dog will turn on me if shit goes south?
That was the top five Google searches of a small butthole drug smuggler. This next segment we haven't done in a long, long time. We're bringing it back. It's called Penthouse Letters to the Editor. Please. Oh.
Fan favorite.
A fan favorite I didn't have to tell them it was a fan favorite for. Please have written a sexy letter to the editor of these various magazines, Steve Ferris. The magazine that you're writing a letter to is called The Daily Tea. The Daily Tea, T-E-A.
This is my least favorite response. I just want to set the bar real low.
Sure.
Dear Daily Tea editor, I hope you are a lady because there are three things I like. Ladies, editors, and tea. There are so many new places to get tea. I bet you've been to them all, but it's just not the same if it's your job. Not the same as what? Not the same as being invited in a sexy letter. And this letter is very sexy. Think about it. You could write a book about ladies getting tea, and you'd probably sell pretty well. But if you write one about ladies getting tea with men, now that's sexy. The steam isn't just coming from the cups anymore. Now it's coming off of bodies. Picture 50 Shades of Earl Grey, but it's not a parody because there's an existing parody that I Googled after writing this, unfortunately, called 50 Shades of Earl Grey. Anyways. And then, all right, we'll work up a good sweat, and then I'll use matcha powder, like baby powder, to keep us from chafing. I'll pull the strings off of bags of tea and tie your fingers and toes to the bedpost. Then I'll stuff the bags of tea into your mouth and fuck you relentlessly while I wait for it to steep. After 5 minutes of this, I will pour the saliva tea into a cup and drink it. I scratched out the next part and then...
Read it anyway. Read it. Please read it.
Well, no, because it's not... I scratched out and wrote something else instead.
Okay.
Because it's just not like... No. Girls and tea and boys and zombies. You know what's going to happen, and that's why it's sexy.
What was scratched out?
Basically, I want to teabag you with a real teabag. And then the part that I scratched out, it was just like, when this ritual is complete, I will teabag you with my teabag and leave, but at least you'll have a great story. So, you know what I mean? It's yeah. Not, yeah, there's a reason that I...
Yeah. Very good, Steve Ferris. The Daily Tea. Rhoda, the magazine you were given is Sculptural Pursuit. Real magazine. Sculptural Pursuit.
Okay. I don't think I did this right, but that's okay.
That's okay.
My boss caught me looking at penthouse letters online. Okay. Dear editor, first of all, let me say your piece on Philip Farrault was astounding. His artwork evokes many feelings in me that I haven't felt since art school. More specifically, I haven't felt such adoration since I banged my ceramics professor. It was spring of 2009, and I was about to finish my last semester. I went to the sculpture department to work on a piece for my final. It was late afternoon, and the sun was setting. turning everything in its path the color of reminiscent of a work by Constantine Brancusi. I open the door to find Mr. Peppercorn braising metal marbles, or as he called it, an exercise in the search for perfection. As he braised his balls, he looked at me with an intensity of a Augustus Rodin, the guy who did The Thinker, and without word began to passionately kiss me. I was taken aback at his sudden compulsion, but I was also transported to another world. For a brief moment in time, he was Michelangelo's David, and I was Alexander's Venus de Milo, but with arms. Before the lovemaking commenced, he requested we reenact the scene from the 1990 romantic film Ghost, starring Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze, because he said all bitches get a good glaze when thinking about the sways. My body was set aflame, and it wasn't just because we were making love next to a kiln. I haven't seen Mr. P since I graduated, but I always look back on this glorious afternoon.
Very good. Very good. Very good. You did it right. You did it right. Yes. Jesse Jones, yeah. The magazine you're writing for is Human Rights Quarterly.
Yeah.
Because we only want them to have rights four times a year. Mm-hmm. Human Rights Quarterly. Real magazine.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
When I cracked open my copy of February's HRQ, I had no idea the steamy, greasy spunk party waiting for me behind the fold. You champions of right have really outdone yourselves this quarter. I've been abusing my own silent majority for years. To your tales of struggles for basic human rights across the globe. And let me tell you, your February journal made my freedom fighters stand up and be counted. I've been an equality slut for decades. So believe me when I tell you that your article, Big Promises, Small Gains, Domestic Effects of Human Rights Treaty Ratification in the Member States of the Gulf Cooperation Council, had me polishing up my justice javelin and spraying volley after volley of my viscous virtue all over the pages. Like the waves of change that get me so goddamn hot. By the time I got to the article, Rigorous Morality, Norms, Values, and the Comparative Politics of Human Rights, I had already rigorously compared my own norm and valued it high. I was exhausted, driven wild by passionate discussion and covered in the juices of so many thoughtfully weighed analyses. Just as I was about to put the issue down, out of the corner of my eye, I caught the headline, How Chinese Journalism Students Viewed the Domestic and Foreign Media. A survey on credibility, censorship, and the role of the Communist Party in media. And I was brought to a peaceful, nonviolent, unassisted orgasm. So keep up the good work. As long as there are sexy struggles for basic human equality out there, you can be sure you'll have an enthusiastic fan beating the drumhead of progress and wiping up with the rags of tyranny.
Very good. That was Penthouse Letters to the Editor. A welcomed return. A welcomed return. This brings us to the last category of our show. The first show tonight, called Movie Makeup. Movie Makeup. Here are some movie titles I made up. Please give a synopsis based off the provided titles. They could be any genre you choose. Steve Ferris, the name of your movie is called The Shit Ducks. The Shit Ducks.
Okay, so yep. I wasn't sure if you were going to do all three and then so.
Okay.
But I guess you're not going
to
do
Would
that.
Would you like
so.
Me to? Would it help?
It wouldn't help.
Okay.
I was just waiting to see what was going to happen, and then...
All right. You know. We'll go right into it.
And then I thought, well, let's explain why it took a minute to start, and then... So the Shit Ducks. I was like, well, I don't know if John wants me to do like a another sequel to the Mighty Ducks or something like that. And this time they suck even worse than at the beginning of the other movies. But I was like, I've only seen like one Mighty Ducks movie, and it was a long time ago. So I was like, you got to write what you know. And so this is what I came up with. Loosely based on the true story of Stephen Ferris's travels by canoe to Goose Shit Island, which is a real place, on the night of each full moon. The story follows the adventures of a small band of ducks who attempt to overthrow the Canadian goose occupation of the island. Armed with the knowledge that a goose poops its own weight in 4 days, and that the island was once a pylon for a railroad bridge that collapsed in the early 1900s. All of this is true.
Right, yes. This is
the ducks realize they might just be better off nesting somewhere else. But when El Nino raises the water line by 8 feet, there isn't really anywhere else to go, and most of the goose shit gets washed away. Will the shit ducks overcome and recover the island, or recover the island in duck shit before the geese get back? And who That's knows? That
we don't know. It's a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. Right. Thank you very much.
There's some actual cliffs on the island too.
Really? Where's this at?
Literal. It's on the American River up there. You go up by Sutter's Landing. Mm. And then, you know, there's the railroad bridge.
Right.
So there used to be another railroad bridge right next to that. Hmm. And that's the one that fell down. And then they built the new one to replace it.
So. Very good. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Actually, Steve, we asked him to do a show on one Wednesday night. And you actually were like, sorry, I'm canoeing. it's right. A full moon. I can't do it. So that is actually a real story, everything that he just said. All right. Very good, Steve. Thank you very much, Steve. Rhoda. The name of your movie is called The Miracle of Ham. The Miracle of Ham. Off you go.
Okay. Meat is murder and dairy is rape. From the filmmakers who once took a seminar from a guy who kind of knows Academy Award winning filmmaker Michael Moore comes this year's most controversial film, The Miracle of Ham. Hard-hitting documentarian Penelope Rutherford Jennings chronicles the lives of two piglets, Hansel and Gretel, from birth to the dinner table. With no special herding skills or motherly spider to watch over them, they are simply put on this earth for horrible human consumption. Experience the highs. Experience the lows. Experience the obligatory visit to the slaughterhouse where one militant meat eater pukes and vows to become a vegan. We promise you will leave the theater ready for the uprising. The Miracle of Ham, coming to theaters this Christmas.
Woo, very good. Oh, so glad that it comes after Thanksgiving. So we could just have one. Okay, all right.
One final ham.
One last ham.
Yeah, one nice ham. One last spiral cooked. Jesse Jones, the name of your movie, it's called Wheezing Wahlberg. Wheezing Wahlberg.
It took me a long time to figure out what this was. And then suddenly, like a bolt of lightning, it came to me fully formed.
Very good.
And it is stupid. It's 1994's craziest comedy of the summer. Meet the Wahlbergs. Donnie, member of the world-famous NKOTB.
Yeah.
Marky, frontman of the crazy, dope, funky bunch. And Pauly... That's right. Hollywood's favorite big screen funny man, Pauly Shore, is driving the hottest brothers in music crazy for almost 82 straight minutes. Watch as the weasel pranks Donnie. Pranks Donnie at the supermarket, pretending to be a talking radish. And look out, Marky Mark. Pauly's going to wheeze you at the drive-thru. Totally getting your order wrong in the wackiest ways possible. It's Pauly Shore, Donnie Wahlberg, Pauly Shore, Marky Mark Wahlberg, Marky Mark Wahlberg, Pauly Shore, Pauly Shore, Pauly Shore, and Pauly Shore. And the pranks just keep coming. Wheezing Wahlberg. Rated PG-13 for pranks getting 13 kinds of hilarious. Own it on VHS or Laserdisc today.
Very good. That was Stab. One more time for Stephen Ferris, Roto Ramon, and Jesse Jones. Thank you guys for coming. If you'd like to hear more Stabs, go to one of our many online outlets, the primary of which being stabforgold.com, www.stabforgold.com. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever. Goodbye.